Hello, everyone. I'm James Howell. I teach biochemistry and molecular biology at Penn State University. And I'm going to talk today about using Emacs to make all of the materials for presenting course meetings in my courses. Everything that you're going to see today is what I've made using the methods that I'm going to describe. And so the main point is that you can take an org document and make, with a single Emacs document, make both a pretty text document that a student can have on the desk and take notes on, and also, I hope, fairly useful and attractive slides like the ones that I'm presenting right now. Okay, both of these from a single source document. Okay. And if you'd like to see the handout that goes along with this, you can download it at the repository where I've put everything's here. So if you'd like to go look at it, you can follow with the handout. So I promised to talk about both authoring and presenting. And first, I'm going to talk about presenting. I'm not the only one who does this. You might have seen System Crafters or Prot's channel or Mike Zemanski's channel on YouTube. Prot actually is going to be presenting tomorrow. And maybe you've seen this chemical engineer at Carnegie Mellon, John Kitchen, or Eric Fraga, or Olivier Berger, all have made blog posts about using org mode to produce course materials. And this pair, Roe and Nam Kuhn, actually published a peer-reviewed paper. So there's prior art here that I'd like to acknowledge. So let me talk about my practices. First, the hardware. This is the hardware that I'm using to record this recording at the very moment. But also, I carry these into every course meeting. And I've done this for quite a while, this entire semester and a few previous semesters, where everything fits in a backpack. And I do every meeting with this tablet. It's a Microsoft Surface that I put a Linux distribution on. And this laptop, and I've got, you know, a bag full of dongles and connectors and so forth. It all fits in a backpack. This is very mobile. I can set it up and tear it down before and after every class with just a couple minutes. So there's the laptop and the tablet with a stylus so that I can, where's my stylus? So that I can draw. which is very useful. Obviously, I need a camera. Today I'm using a desk mic, but when I'm remote, I use a lapel mic, and a video converter, and I'll show you why that's important, and then all of the ancillary equipment. And one thing that's nice about using a completely free software stack is that it tends to run on underpowered hardware, and so none of the software cost anything. I could have spent much less than this on a used computer and a used tablet. And everything else is, you know, these are high estimates. I spent way less than $1,000 for all of this equipment, and it's my equipment. So I have hardware and software control over it, which is nice. So if you have an attitude of upcycling and building, and you know, this is a hobby anyway, this is an easy way. So that what I'm saying is the entry into using these things, there's certainly a very low cost barrier. Because the hardware is so weak, I have the tablet for doing tablet stuff, and then I use the laptop to do all of the streaming and recording. And so I take the video output of the tablet and convert it to USB input into the laptop. So just to kind of give you a diagram here, there's a laptop and there's a tablet. The tablet has a stylus, and they both run GNU Linux distributions. You got a webcam that goes into the laptop. You've got video output from the tablet that goes into the laptop. There's a microphone that goes into the laptop, and then audio and video come out of the laptop and go into some AV system or another. Okay. And so this was Wednesday, I think, teaching microbiology. There's the tablet, there's the laptop, there's the external screen. There's in the podium here, you can plug into the AV system. So there it is. And from where I stand, this is what the screen looks like. And this is what students are seeing on the live stream and later on the recording, and students in the room can see this as well. And so you notice this is kind of meta, but the camera and this and the contents of the screen are there. And so when I wander around and when I stand in front of this screen, the students who aren't in the room can still see what I'm pointing to on the screen. So it's all, nobody gets left out. Okay, so let's talk about the software that I use. There's a lot of different things that I want to be able to show. And so I need a few different software packages besides Emacs. So for drawing on the tablet, I use, I don't know quite how this is pronounced. I think it's Shornal +++. I use the web quite a bit, especially if I want to just spontaneously look something up. Often I use video, especially molecular animations, and that's incredibly powerful. And then now and again, I want to look at text, especially in the English course that I teach. There's a lot, quite a bit of text, and so I'll use Emacs for that. The video compositor, the thing that puts this video and me in the green screen and all of the stuff together, is called OBS Studio. And then and that also does recording. It's almost a completely free software stack. I use Zoom to do this streaming and video conferencing because all of the students are forced to use it for their other classes, and I've gone along with it, but a good alternative is Jitsi Meet. There are others. Okay, so again, here's the hardware setup. And so on the tablet, I'm running Shornal. On the laptop, I've got Firefox and VLC and Emacs. OBS is compositing that together, and I use Zoom, but you could use Jitsi. All right, so let's demonstrate this live. Here we go. Here goes nothing. So the drawing program is really good because I can draw with a stylus on a tablet. It's a remarkable thing that I teach in these big lecture halls, and there's, I guess they want them to be fancy, and so they don't have blackboards and whiteboards. So if I want to be able to draw, if I want to do anything approaching analog, it has to be with this software. And in this presentation, I don't have very many diagrams, but in my courses, most of the slides are complicated diagrams. And so being able to annotate them is really important. And so this is why, I mean, I don't use Emacs for presenting these kinds of documents, because I want to be able to mark them up visually. So I can show you what that looks like. By the way, here's what how OBS works, right? So I can go from different scenes. So I can just do just me, or I can show you the slides, or I can show you what I see on the tablet. So on the tablet, I can go through all of the, you notice here, I'm scrolling through all of the different slides, and I've got all kinds of different markup tools, and I've got tools for controlling Zoom and what page I'm on, but you don't have to see that. Okay. Firefox, boy, I do a lot of this. So all of our, all of the quizzes in quizzes and exams in my courses are online on this web platform called Canvas, which is good enough. It's based on a GPL3 package, but this one is proprietary for Penn State. And notice that there's a quiz every day, and this quiz, every quiz has a recording from that day. And so you notice there's a picture of me teaching, pointing to the slides, and there's the slides themselves. And I use OBS to composite in the Zoom chat, because I teach this hybrid. There's people in the room, and there's people at other campuses who are in this course. And so having the Zoom chat in the live feed is very useful. And then the quiz, at the next class meeting, we'll go through this quiz. And so here's some experimental data, and here's a question where they're supposed to interpret these data. And so we can in class together, we can review those. So that's why Firefox is useful. Now, this is the one that really, being able to inhabit figures like this is incredibly powerful. This is the silver lining of being forced to teach online during the pandemic, because I couldn't do this before I had a green screen. But even more powerful than this, for years I showed students this figure by standing in front of it or by having it on a projector screen above me, and I said, "Well, here, this is the B form of DNA. This is the most common form of DNA, and you see here that there's this minor groove, and then this feature is called the major groove." And students couldn't see it. But if you animate it, right, if you just have it move, the apparent movement, it's not really movement, it's apparent movement, and it tricks your visual cortex into adding three-dimensional structure to this, right? So you can see this feature is the major groove, and that feature is the minor groove. And a static image just can't provide that understanding when a moving image can. Okay. And then I use Emacs to look at text. So where's Emacs? Here's Emacs. So we read Vonnegut in this English class that I teach. And so I'm going to tab over to Emacs. And it's nice to be able to have text jump around and be dynamic, right? So if you want to look at this passage, and I'll have somebody read it aloud, and then we talk about why he chose this word and why he chose that word, and the cadence and the alliteration, and then we can go to another particular excerpt and pick that apart on the screen together. And that would be difficult to do with other software. That would be very tedious to do on the chalkboard. So Emacs is really good for that sort of thing. Mostly what I use Emacs for is not to present, but to make slides and handouts. Okay. And again, the thing that I want to stress is that the slides and the handouts can be produced from a single org mode document. This entire presentation was assembled in Emacs, and I'll show you how I did that. I think everybody probably knows what org mode is, but for our purposes, it's a way to write documents in plain text. That's very important, because that one of the biggest advantages of this is being able to do version control. And so I don't have PowerPoint decks everywhere with slides that there's no way to keep track of them. Having these be plain text means that I can just put them in a Git repository. Very clean and human readable markup, including handling tables, which is just incredibly powerful. You can manage projects and tasks, but the fact that it's an outline, that you can produce a document that's hierarchical and fold and reveal different parts of it, but to produce a book length lectures for an entire semester and use those to produce both slides and handouts, that's very powerful, at least for my brain, to be able to put it all together and have it be discursive rather than having it be graphical. Okay, you can export to a million different formats, including PDF documents like the handouts as LaTeX, and slides like these through Beamer export. So the approach is to think about pedagogy rather than thinking about software or thinking about graphic design, right? To think about, how can I make the best argument? How can I make the best, the most effective sequence of ideas? And so all I've done is make a few tweaks to the export backends for LaTeX and Beamer to customize them for my particular needs. And I'll show you what I've done. So you see, you've seen this already, right? Where I'll put one idea in big text on the screen. I find it to be effective to make a single idea explicit at one time. Now, some ideas are some concepts can be explained with words or text, but many ideas are best just illustrated. In contrast, we've all used PowerPoint, right? And Edward Tufte has taught us about how PowerPoint is so terrible from a cognitive point of view and from a communications point of view. So using org mode is much better. How is it better? Well, Tufte also tells us that any kind of oral presentation that is substantive at all has to have some kind of physical handout that the audience can use to take notes on. And slides are terrible handouts, and notes are usually terrible slides. So having one document where you can produce both and have them be have the same organization, but different structures and different visual organization is something that I've wanted for a long time, and I can only do it with Emacs. Being able also for my brain to separate the work of writing and developing ideas and developing explanations and developing arguments and scaffolding them, that's jargon in pedagogy for bringing the student along. Separate that work from wrangling slides. That's super helpful for me. All right, so again, you have an org document that makes both the handouts and the slides. What's beautiful about it is that everything is an outline. And again, it's very discursive. And here's Tufte's famous poster where he's making fun of the psychology of PowerPoint. I don't know about you, but I have the kind of brain and I'm in the kind of job and I'm at the kind of age where I don't have extra cognitive function, you know? And so having streamlining this workflow has been really helpful. All right, so let me show you what I've developed. Let's look at the org doc. Okay, so what you see is you have a typical org mode buffer, and it has there's two headings here. One of them is stuff that I've deleted, and the other is the talk. Okay, and so all of these subheadings have various things underneath, including these macros that I wrote, like include slide, impact slide, subsection slide, etc., and then a bunch of stuff. And then I've got this include file that has that just has the macros that I've written. And you can look at this on the repo. I'm not going to take the time to walk through it and explain what all the LaTeX means, but the upshot is that by including that file that has all the macro definitions, you get things like this macro pause or new line or white space break, which just allow pause splits a slide into two frames, like so you can get these overlays so you can go through paragraphs one by one. And these just put white space in. And text slides. This thing here, this title is a level three heading. Figure slides, the same thing, are level three headings. One of the most powerful things is that I can take other files, right? I can take other org files that have level three headings that are slides, and those can be in some other repository. And so I only need to have one version of that slide that I can use in multiple courses. And just that functionality is incredibly helpful for keeping track of work from a few years ago. All of these I'm going to explain in the next few slides. So the section slides correspond to course modules. So each of these is going to be a few weeks of a course. And so this is a major division of a course. And I have some macros so that I can decorate this with relevant information. And then for every subsection, every level two headline, that corresponds to a major course topic in the module. And then text slides, again, level three headlines become titles for the slide, and then level four headlines become text elements. Most of my slides look like this. They're figures, right? Where, here's the glycolytic pathway. And so level three gives you the title. You can put, it's missing here actually, but there's a caption where you can put in captions, and this line here just tells the LaTeX export backend how big you want it and stuff like that. Impact slides, they have to go under H1 or H2, and they just give you one of these text slides. Entire slide being an image, you can use this image slide macro. I often put in blank slides to remind myself this is a time to stop, and often there's something for me to draw here with the stylus. And I often use I often use, it used to be PowerPoint, now I use LibreOffice Impress to make multi-slide animations, like, you know, the sphere and the donut and the GI tract, and, you know, this hardware thing that I did for you today. And I export those animations as PDFs, and then I can just slurp them up into the slides, and just into the slides, not into the handouts, with this macro. I hope that you find this useful. I hope you share it with other educators that you know. Here is the Source Hut repo. Here's how to get in touch with me. I look forward to addressing your questions. And I want to say thank you to Sasha and the organizers, and to everyone who made this possible, and to all of you in the community, because, as we all know, that's what makes Emacs such a strong and powerful package, is all of the people behind it. Thanks, everybody.